Mind Your Business with Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
No annual award better honors the bold ambition of Singapore's young businesses under 10 years old than the Emerging Enterprise Award, jointly organized by the Singapore Press Holdings Financial Daily, the Business Times, and Asia's best SME bank, OCBC Bank. Well, 2019 marks 12 years of the award's celebration on business innovation, resilience, and excellence in SMEs, the bedrock of the Singapore economy. Well, since 2008, this award has been empowering startups and young enterprises with both recognition and resources to take flight and achieve stellar growth.
Today we chat with one of the finalists in contention for this year's award to find out what makes them tick. Founded in 2014, one of G-Trip's key features is that it allows guests to check in at their hotels with a mobile application that makes use of their smartphone's fingerprint and facial recognition systems. And we're chatting with founder Maxim Tint and Vitri Mayandi, who's chief commercial officer there. They call it a digital identity platform for global citizens. Gents, thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
First,
tell us the impetus for G-Trip. Maybe, Maxim, you can take this. What gap in the market are you trying to fill?
You watched this movie, Captain Marvel, recently. There was a scene where the lady, Carol Danvers, she was back on Earth, and Nick Fury came up to her and asked, "Can I see some ID, please?" And she said, "No, I no longer carry it on those little plastic cards anymore. I'm from the future." So that's that. I think humanity is really going to travel without physical IDs eventually. And that is the guiding principle behind what we do as a digital identity. So today, we can almost leave home without your wallet. You can do your payments on your phone. You can do a lot of things. You can enter an office with your digital key. We do that in an office. Just that we still have one few things that are holding us back, which is the identity card, the physical ID card. So we think that in the near future, we might not even need to carry the wallet at all, because you as a person, your face, maybe your fingerprint, your voice, or even your retina could become your identity. You as a person should be your own identity.
Mm. Yeah. If we're talking about movies, if I may, one that scared me was Angels and Demons with Tom Hanks in the starring role, where a particular scientist at CERN had his eyeball pulled out just so that they use his retina to get into his super secret lab. So that's a fear that some people have. How may you assuage those fears, Maxim?
A lot of these fears are real. So very interestingly, recently San Francisco became the first U.S. city to ban the use of facial recognition. And these are valid concerns. So firstly, our product does not really run on external cameras like CCTV cameras. So it could never be used to do surveillance or in an intrusive manner without your consent. So it runs on your own smartphone. So if you're not comfortable with checking in automatically, you could just keep your phone in the pocket, just queue up traditionally, and that's completely fine as well. So we let the user decide and own your own identity.
Tell us again, maybe just a bit clearer, how does it all work and why is there a demand for it? Just the USP on its own?
Yeah, so most of our customers are commercial properties like hotels and offices. So in a hotel guest experience, you can take a photo of your photo ID, like your driving license or passport, and you can take a selfie. So we basically use the AI. We built neural networks and train that with different kind of passports and IDs so that we understand the shapes, the colors, and the text values. So we could automatically check you in and send this data to the property management systems. And this actually makes the check-in process faster, increasing the productivity. That's the reason why these hotels are buying it. And how it is different from how you would normally automate it? Well, today, a lot of customers think that to automate this, I should go out and buy a physical check-in kiosk. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that you already have a supercomputer in your pocket. Mm-mm. So unlike a physical kiosk, you don't even need to supply additional hardware or put more electricity to power them. So it's infinitely more scalable and sustainable. This software that we make runs on your smartphones that you already have using battery power.
Talk to us then also about your operating and business models. Maybe, Vetri, you can help us out with that.
Yeah, I can take that question. So again, we're not going to gouge anybody's eyes in the show.
My own paranoia.
Yeah. The basic principle is, I think we make sure that there's no hardware involved. We are a pure software player. When you say software player, that means to say you don't bother about whether there are going to be cameras or whatever not. The important thing is, there was a client in Hong Kong. When he was talking about our solution, he was asking me whether he needs to install a camera in front of every single room door. Mm-hmm. Which is far from the truth. So for the users, for hotels, we price it slightly differently. So the model is per room, per month. The reason why we do that is because the smaller properties then will also benefit from it. They pay lesser.
More accessible to just about everyone.
Well.
Okay.
But if you look at the commercial properties, the model has got to be slightly different because we talk about users, staff, and then their visitors as well. So there are a few permutations to how we do that. And then, of course, fundamentally, what happens is security is never compromised when we do this. Mm. It's even better than eyeballing somebody's passport. That's what.
Talk about the secret of G-Trip's phenomenal growth, you think. You expect revenue to hit 2 million for 2019, tripled to 6 million in 2020, cash flow positive by end 2019. That's all very encouraging. What do you think, Vetri?
There's no secret formula. Well, we have a founding team that's extremely dedicated to the cause, right? We know what we are doing right now, and the founding team worked extremely hard to put that together. That's number one. I think a very focused approach on what we want to achieve. The end goals need to be very clear, and then the strategy to hit those goals need to be also articulated very clearly. And we do that very well. We have our weekly sessions, we have our product team crunching away whether these features are going to be right or wrong for the clients. We listen to the client's feedback as well. These are all just nuggets of information that we pull together to make sure the product is going to last the test of time, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that G-Trip has also gone through a number of funding rounds. I mean, for the benefit of our listeners, raising US $1.5 million so far. Its upcoming Series B funding around later this year is aimed at rising $4 million, which will value the company at roughly US $20 million. So tell us, what will the funding be used for?
Sure, the proceeds will be used to roll out the same existing product into more markets like Japan, Taiwan, Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. And we're also looking at our own existing product in hotels and looking at diversification into one or two more verticals. So, for example, we're looking at making an office product to do things like visitor management and tenant management using the same digital identity platform. And when we do that, we are actually able to serve more customers regionally and eventually globally. So we do that by hiring more engineers, more R&D, sales, implementation, and support staff. And
has that been challenging to do, though, Maxim? We always hear from business owners, talent's hard to find, to attract, especially if you're a startup.
It is. I think a lot of the time, the talent don't join just because of money. A lot of the time, the mission is important. So when we build this, we are excited to build another unicorn and put another Singapore flag on the world map. So we are excited to do that. And the team that joins us share the same kind of mission as well.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And what have you learned through the nomination process of the award so far?
I must say,
no, Vetri's sounding a bit,
it's been a real eye-opener. Singaporean companies with such innovative products coming out into the industry and really, really causing a real big impact and stir. I think that is really, really encouraging. For us, I think to be nominated as one of the 15, I think it's really, really something that we never dreamt about. But I think it's real. We have worked hard for the last 4 years, and then it's now we're just wanting to reap the benefits of our efforts.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest takeaway through this whole process?
Takeaway is Singaporeans are creative.
And many of the finalists that we talk to here on the show always tell us that the entire judging process kind of made them rethink a little bit better about their business and how to profile the business, how to tell the company story a lot better after going through the judging rounds. Do you go through that experience as well?
Definitely,
yes. Because the questions they ask, beyond the blinkers that we have, it just goes away from our comfort zone, right? So it actually forces us to think harder. about our business as well.
Very quickly, Maxim, earlier you talked about some regions that you might be expanding into thanks to the funding that you've received so far. Why those particular regions, though? Why not just global world domination, man? That'd be the
One of the recurring theme of a lot of our customers, existing customers, is that they're usually coming from markets with very high labor cost, and very often they have aging populations.
Mm.
So there's this huge gap of labor that's available and the amount of work that we got to do. So when we use AI to automate a lot of these mundane tasks, we kind of like to think that we could help humans become superhumans by using this technology and augment them with the technology. And this productivity is a huge increase in labor availability for these markets. That's why we go after these high labor cost markets.
If we could continue on our movie theme, I have to ask you, as a child of the 80s, I suppose, if you think Terminator 2's Skynet will ever come into force?
I'll let Maxim answer that question.
I think I like to think that each technology, like AI, is never really innately good or evil on its own. It's always about the actors behind it and what you use that tool and technology for. So if we're using AI as some kind of Skynet kind of system, we got to make sure we build it in the right ways with the right controls in place to make sure that it doesn't turn evil against us.
So you're saying it is possible that the AI could be cognizant enough to run on its own?
It is definitely possible with the technology advancement that we are seeing around the world. But having said that, I think I share Max's sentiments. I think if we use the tools correctly and for a right cause, I think they can benefit us more than cause a lot of problems for us. I think that's the fundamental.
Gene, thanks, James, for adding to my paranoia.
Okay, so we've just been talking to Maxim Tin, who is a founder, and also Avetri Miyandi, Chief Commercial Officer of G-Trip. And of course, G-Trip is one of the finalists of the Emerging Enterprise Award. This is jointly organized by Singapore Press Holdings Financial Daily, the Business Times, and Asia's best SME bank, OCBC Bank. Now, this award supports the bold ambitions of young businesses. It recognizes their achievements and also offers them networking opportunities and needed resources to continue growing.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.